I'm not ashamed because I'm a preacher. And I believe what I preach. If I didn't, I'd quit. But I believe what I preach. And by the grace of God tonight, I want to load your wagon again by the help of God. And I'm going to read three scriptures tonight. It's hard for me to read one scripture and preach from one scripture. It's hard for me to do that. Sometimes I do, but it's just once in a while. I want to read from Philippians, the second chapter, beginning in verse number 7. But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. I call your attention to this clause. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of a man. Now I turn to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 9. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. The sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I choose to preach tonight the joy that was set before him and the glory that should follow. The joy that was set before him and the glory that should follow. Let us lift our hands and pray tonight for the preaching of the Word of God. Father, bless us tonight. God, help me.
God, anoint, God,
I'm only a man. Help me to preach
God,
tonight.
God, anoint tonight. Anoint tonight.
Help me to preach tonight.
Jesus, anoint, I pray.
Anoint me, Lord. Let your Spirit rest upon me tonight.
Anoint, oh God. Anoint.
Let the Holy Ghost talk to us right now, we pray. You may be seated, and the Lord bless you tonight. The joy that was set before him and the glory that should follow. Now, in these verses that I have read in your hearing, I have read words like this: suffering, shame, joy, and glory. All of these words are used in the same verses, penned by the same man. These verses are given to us for a specific purpose. and for a cause. In the verses I have read, the word suffering has been used. The joy that was set before him. He despised the shame of the cross. He bore the shame of the cross. There was a reason for that. There was a joy that was set before him, and there was a glory that was to follow. Now these words, in their meanings, are poles apart. We know the difference between shame and glory. We know the difference between suffering and joy. We know that. I want to give you a description of Jesus Christ. My text said tonight that he came in the likeness of men, in the form of a servant. That's why folks did not accept him when he came. He did not come like they thought he would come. He didn't come in the pomp and the splendor and the glory of a king. He came in the likeness of a man, in the form of a servant. The Bible tells me that he was a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. We know what grief is. The Bible said that he was acquainted with grief. He knew what sorrow was. You know, I read one Sunday morning, I was at the radio station, and I was looking through the Bible, and I came across some scripture. And I've never forgotten the Sunday morning that I read these scriptures, and I've never forgotten the impact that they had on my heart when I read them from the Word of God. The Bible said, in the days of his flesh, in the days of his flesh, he offered prayer and supplication with strong crying and tears. I've seen strong men cry. I've seen strong men cry. But had you ever stopped to think, when we cry, when we weep, when we sorrow, when we mourn, we cry because of our own personal sorrow. But Jesus wept and cried, strong crying and tears, supplication and prayer. It was for the sins of the world. He cried like no other man has ever cried. He sorrowed like no other man has ever sorrowed. He was acquainted with grief like no other man has ever been acquainted with grief. If we could understand the real mission of Jesus in the midst of all of this, from his birth until the day they hung him on the cross, he walked in the shadow of the cross from his birth to his death on the cross. In the shadow of the cross, he said, for this purpose was I born. For this purpose came I into the world. Can you catch a vision of Jesus tonight? He didn't come like a prince. He didn't come like a king. He didn't come in the pomp, the splendor, and the glory that they expected him to come in. But he came in the form of a servant, in the likeness of a man. In the likeness of a man. I want to preach to you tonight. I feel the preaching spirit has come upon me right now. I want to preach to you tonight. I want to preach to this congregation tonight. You hear me as I unburden my soul to this vast multitude of men, women, young people, boys, and girls. Let us get a vision of Jesus tonight. The Bible said, he that was rich was made poor that we might become rich through him.
Yes.
He owned everything.
Right.
But he came as a servant.
Yes.
He came as a servant in the form of a man. In the form of a servant, in the likeness of a man, he came. He condescended. He came from so high and a lofty world down where men live. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible said, and I like that verse, it didn't simply say that he was made a man, but he was made flesh. I like that. He became one of us. He became flesh.
Right.
Flesh that you could feel, and flesh that suffered, and flesh that cried, and
yes,
flesh that prayed,
yes,
and flesh that sorrowed. Hallelujah. That's how my Lord come, and that's how and why he understands every heartbeat of the human race tonight is because he was made flesh and dwelt among men.
Right.
He was so rich, but yet he became so poor. You know, when he came into the city, you know how he rode into the city? He had to borrow a mule to ride into the city on. That's right. And when they got ready to bury him, they had to bury him in a borrowed tomb. Can you think of it tonight? A servant in the form of a servant. You know why he endured the shame of the cross, the suffering of the cross? There was a joy that was put out yonder beyond the cross. There was a glory that was going to follow his death on the cross. Hallelujah. And listen, when I get down to the joy that was to come and the glory that was to follow, we're going to have a time in this tabernacle tonight. Hallelujah. He died for a purpose. He died for a cause. Somebody said he was defeated in death. He was not defeated in death. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. Hallelujah.
Yes, yes.
And he's alive tonight. Praise God. I say he's alive tonight. A servant, a servant. Let me view him tonight as a servant. Listen, he said, I didn't come to be ministered to, but I came to minister. Can you see him when they had the Passover? When he pulled down the curtain on the Passover and raised the curtain on the Lord's Supper. Can you imagine him in the form of a servant, in the likeness of a man? He girded himself with a towel, and he took a basin of water and got down and washed the feet of the disciples. That's the servant I'm preaching about tonight.
Right.
That's the servant I'm preaching about tonight. Listen, let me tell you, friend, the thing that he had in mind, it wasn't a sword. It wasn't an army that was going to take him to the throne. That wasn't it. But all the weapon he had was a little towel. That's right. That's what took him to the throne of power and great glory. Hallelujah. Was just a little towel. Can you imagine the creator of all things, the God of the universe, walking around among men like a man in the form of a servant and got down with a towel girded around him and took the feet of his disciples and put them in a basin of water and washed the disciples' feet. You know what that was? That was the Creator washing the feet of his creation. Hallelujah. That's the servant. That's the servant I'm talking about tonight. The servant. The servant. The servant. The servant. The servant. The servant. Came in the likeness of a man. In the likeness of a man. He became one of us. He came in the flesh. And I'm going to tell you tonight that God, which was spirit, and the flesh that came from the womb of the Virgin Mary, were so entwined until Jesus could say, when you see me, you see my Father. When you see me, you see him that sent me. Hallelujah. Thank God he was God in the flesh. I said he was God in the flesh. But he took upon himself the role of a serpent. The role of a serpent. Washed the feet of his creator with a little old towel. He came in the likeness of God, and he was still God. He went away to heaven in the likeness of a man, and he was still man. Hallelujah. You see, that body that he left here with is going to be the visible, glorified body that we're going to look upon throughout the endless ages of eternity. Hallelujah. I heard a fellow preaching one time. Now, you may believe this, but I don't. And I've learned a long time ago that I preach what I feel like preaching. And if folks don't want to say amen, I can just preach right on. I can preach without amen.
Amen. Yeah. Killer.
I heard a man preach one time that God was spirit in the beginning. I believe that. He said when the spirit manifested itself in the flesh, and when the plan of redemption has been completed, the church has been carried to heaven, there'll be a little sound up there that'll just go. The body of Jesus will disappear. He'll go back to what he was in the beginning, all spirit, and no body. No, my friends, he's coming back just like he went away. He went away in a body, and he's coming back in a body. And that body is going to be visible throughout all eternity.
Yeah.
That body, that glorified body, he's coming back with many crowns on his head. Not just one crown, but many crowns. Hallelujah. He's coming back in Revelation 19, not as a servant, but he's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Yes.
He said, feel of me. I don't know where people ever got the idea that heaven is going to be a place of spirits. They tell me that heaven will be filled with spirits like the wind. No, my friend, heaven is a place, prepared place for prepared people. And the Bible said, beloved, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is.
Yep.
But John said, we handle the word of life. Jesus said, feel of me. A spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. Oh, that will not have any blood, will have spirit. Down here, the life is in the blood. Oh, that will have no blood. The spirit will be our life. Hallelujah. Glorified body. Thank God. I'm going to see you when I get there. Thank God. That's right. He manifested himself in the form of a servant. You know why he had to? Because there was something that was set before him. What was that? It was joy. It was glory. He had to go through shame and suffering. He had to cry. He had to weep, become acquainted with death. But thank God, there'll be a day when death will be over.
Yes.
There'll be a day when I'll never cry again. There'll be a day when I'll never preach again. Heaven won't be a place of preaching and praying. It'll be a time of singing and shouting. Hallelujah. Because we won the victory. I said we won the victory. Somebody said it's not all in shouting. And I've got a news for you tonight. It's not all in sitting still either. You know why some folks don't believe in shouting? How many of you know what a muley-headed cow is? That's a muley-headed cow. She don't have no horns. Some folks don't believe in shouting for the same reason that a muley-headed cow don't believe in hooking.
Oh, yeah.
They don't have nothing to hook with. That's right.
Nothing to
they
hook
don't
with.
Have a thing to hook with. Oh, brother, let me tell you tonight, when you realize the role that he took, God Almighty, the creator of all things, of heaven and earth, veiling himself in a temple of flesh, coming down, walking among men in the form of a servant, because beyond the cross, that was joy. Beyond the cross, that was glory. Hallelujah. Now, as a man, as a servant,
yeah,
he prayed in Matthew, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. If it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Let's go quietly tonight. Let's look at a lone figure out there as he kneels in prayer. If it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, not the will of the flesh, but let the will of the Spirit be done. In the Bible, a cup. Let's notice a cup. A cup is used to drink from. And many times we drink from the cup of sorrow and suffering. Jesus suffered. Let this cup pass from me. You know what? I'm going to tell you tonight that Jesus Christ saw something in that cup. David said, I will take the cup of salvation. I will pay my vows in the presence of all of his people. He anoints my head with oil, and my cup runs over with joy. Hallelujah. A cup is used to drink from. Paul said, there is a cup of devils and there's a cup of blessings. The cup of devils and the cup of blessings. Jesus Christ drank from a cup. Let's steal away here for a minute. Walk quietly into the garden. You see a figure bowed there in prayer. And let me tell you, friend, the Bible tells me that sweat came from his body as it were great drops of blood. Let me tell you something here tonight. He suffered agony and pain and sorrow in the role of a servant because he had the sins of the world upon his shoulder.
Right.
I've tried to envision heaven. I've tried to envision some things that's going to take place. Go with me tonight in your mind when the saints go marching in. We've had beautiful singing tonight. Beautiful singing. But you wait till everybody arrives home. We're not home yet. We're going to have a home coming one day.
Yes.
Hallelujah! We're going to have a home coming one day. There's going to be singing over there. I can't sing down here. But you wait till I get over there. You wait till I get over there. Brother Williams, you can't sing either. You need to laugh about it. That's right.
I know it.
Yes, sir. But you wait. Me and you may stand side by side.
Right.
You may sing alto.
Yeah.
I may sing tenor.
Yeah. I want to hear that. Come on, we'll sing.
In church one Sunday morning, a little girl turned to her mother and said, what's that lady singing next to us? Said, she's singing alto. Well, he said, I thought we were singing Rock of Ages. Maybe that's the reason she sounds so bad. But everything's going to be perfect over there. Everything will be in harmony over there. The role of a servant. He had to do this. I said he had to take on the role of a servant and come in the likeness of a man. Hallelujah. Thank God I see him as he prayed. There was so much pressure upon him. There was such a tremendous travail in his soul until the pores of his skin open up like tiny wee gates. And the Bible teaches me he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. I've tried to imagine what it's going to be like when the saints go marching in. Hallelujah. Listen, brother, there's a very peculiar people that's very dear to the heart of Jesus Christ. Listen, I heard an evangelist preach not long ago. He said Israel was God's first love. The church is his second love. I never wanted to arise and shout so bad in my life and tell that man that God dealt with the natural Israel. Now he's dealing with a spiritual people that's known as his church, his wife, his bride. We are his first love.
Right, right.
Preach till I get it fixed. That's right. Turn on the juice up there, son. Praise God. Listen, I'm getting warmed up now. Hallelujah. Somebody said, why do you get excited when you preach? Because I want to.
Yeah.
What if you'd have been included in a hard-hewed will? Would you got excited? Well, that's right, brother. You'd have got excited, wouldn't you?
Yes, sir.
I'd have liked to have had $1 million of that. But I didn't get it. But I'm still excited. Folks can get excited over a lot of things, but let's get excited over Jesus Christ tonight.
Right.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. When the saints go marching in, I can imagine one angel will say to another, who is that group that seems to be so close to the heart of Jesus Christ? The other angel will say, that's his joy, that's his glory, that's his church, that's his wife, that's who he died for. We, the angels, we are the work of his hands. That group that's coming in is the travail of his soul. Hallelujah. He travailed in prayer. Strong crying. Prayer and supplication. You know why? Because out there, there was joy. There was joy. There was joy. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Give me John chapter 15 and verse 11. Give me Acts chapter 8, verses 5 through 8. Now, we're going to notice something here tonight. Even though the shadow of the cross fell across the pathway of Jesus, he knew that one day he was going to have to give his life as a ransom for the souls of men. He knew that. He knew that. Listen to me. As I preach to you across this pulpit tonight, there is a Christ that loves you. I said there's a Christ that loves you tonight. And it's not puppy love either. I told a young couple not long ago, I said, you better be sure you are in love. I said, this puppy love will lead you a dog's life. And it will. It will. And all of this sweet smelling cologne and all of this perfume, I said, after a while, you're going to smell Johnson's baby powder. And I said, be sure you're in love. That's right. That's right. Damn it tonight. There's a joy. Peter tried to describe it. He said, it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. That was the goal out there beyond the cross. The joy that was set before him. The joy that was set before him. I said the joy that was set before him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The joy, the joy, the joy, the joy, the joy. Rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Romans 14:17. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but is righteousness and peace and joy.
Yes.
In the Holy Ghost.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah, read it. Notice what he said.
These things have I spoken unto you.
This is Jesus talking. These things have I spoken unto you.
That my joy might remain in you.
Now notice, that my joy might remain in you.
And that your joy.
And that your joy.
Might be full.
Might be full. Hallelujah. Thank God. It takes His joy coupled to your joy to make your joy a full joy. And some folks, they haven't been happy in so long. The Bible said the joy of the Lord is your strength.
Yes.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Some folks will sit on the front seat of a church and sing, Lord, bear me away to heaven on snowy white wings, and they're not fit to go to heaven on buzzard wings. Never had a touch of joy. Never had a touch of salvation. If you'll hear me tonight, I'm going to tell you what brings joy. I mean real joy. I'm going to tell you what brings real joy. Acts chapter 8 and verse 5. Listen, I'm going to stand up tonight in defense of the ministry. I've heard young people say, well, the old preachers, they try to rob the young man and the young woman of all the joy in the world, and they try to hold a tight line. That's not true. We're trying to save you from hell. That's what we're trying to do.
Right.
We're telling you where the real joy is. Acts 8 and 5, now read it. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria.
And preached Christ unto them.
And preached what?
Christ.
He preached the theory.
He preached Christ.
He preached the theory.
He preached Christ.
He preached the bedtime story.
I got the book.
You have?
Yeah.
Well, hold to it.
Okay.
Listen. I preached the camp meeting not long ago, one of the large districts. Philip came to me one night and said, I don't understand how you can preach doctrine, the oneness of God, baptism in Jesus' name, and get folks to the altar and get them full of the Holy Ghost. Well, I said, what else are they going to preach? Some has the idea that unless you tell about Grandpa Jones, Aunt Sally, Aunt Molly, dying with pneumonia, dying with a heart attack, dying with some dreadful disease that you can't get nobody saved. What did Peter preach in the first sermon? They said, what shall we do? He said, repent and be baptized,
yes,
every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. I don't have a sob story to tell you.
No.
I don't have a sob story. I have Christ to preach
about. Yeah!
And Philip went down to the city of Samaria. You know what Jesus saw in that cup? He saw Samaria in that cup. He saw the Louisiana campground in that cup. He saw a church in that cup. Hallelujah. He saw you in that cup. He saw me in that cup. That's the joy that was set before him.
Yeah, yeah.
Hallelujah. Now, what did he preach?
Christ unto them.
Preach Christ unto them. Now, someone says, I preach Christ. Do you? Oh, yes. I get up and I say, believe on Christ. There is a Christ. So I preach him. You know what you got to do to preach Christ? You got to preach him in his fullness.
Right.
You have to preach him. He's the first and the last.
Amen.
The Alpha and Omega.
Amen.
The beginning and the end. The bright and the morning star. The rose of Sharon. The lily of the valley. The Son of Righteousness. You got to preach Him as Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You got to preach the fullness of the Godhead is in Him.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You got to preach Him. And preach Christ unto them. What happened?
And the people with one accord.
And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things
which Philip spake.
Now, Philip went down and commanded their attention. That's why folks are not saved tonight.
Right.
They don't listen.
No.
I said they don't listen.
No.
Man, am I ever preaching tonight. And I'm just not getting started. Listen. I'm just on the joy part right now. You wait till I get to the glory part. Hallelujah. That's right. You wait till I get to the glory part. The joy. Now notice, the people of Samaria, they gave heed unto Philip and the things that he spake. He preached Jesus Christ. And it's a bad thing when you've got to pull Christ out and substitute something else for him. Listen, this old adage is going around over this country right now. Oh, there's a generation gap. You see, the young people don't understand what you're talking about. I preached in a church not long ago. A young woman walked up to me. She said, Brother Gamlin, the way you preach, there is no generation gap. There's not one standard for the young people and another standard for the old people.
No, no.
There's a standard for everybody, and that's holiness unto the Lord.
Amen. Right.
But you go to talking about money now, and there's no generation gap there. Strange, but there's no generation gap there. You see, money used to talk. Then it got down to where it whispered. Now it don't say a word. It just sneaks by and don't even want to stop for a conversation. One Sunday morning, one young man brought a hippie-type young man to church to listen to his pastor. And while the pastor was preaching, that hippie-type boy said, I don't dig that. I don't hack that. I can't understand that. I don't like that. I don't like that sermon. We got through. The boy that belonged to the church went to the pastor right quick, said, listen, said, this hippie boy back here didn't like what you preached. Go back and talk to him. Maybe you can change his thinking toward Christ. The pastor went back. The hippie said, I don't like what you said. I don't understand it. I don't believe it. I don't like it. But he said, I did drop $100 bill in the collection plate. The pastor said, cool, brother, cool. We all understand that, don't we? There's no generation gap there. Why is there a generation gap between the older saints and the younger saints and the old folks and the young folks? Christ will close that generation gap. See, here's the trouble. Fads, you know. Fads are going around all over this country.
Yeah.
Fads. Fads. They're here today and gone tomorrow. They are here today and gone tomorrow. Listen, somebody I read the other day, he was in a bar talking to a man, and they got talking about pets. One of them said, pets are very expensive. They're expensive to buy, to feed, to groom, then when they die, that's becoming a big business. Pet graveyards all over this country. The fellow said, if you had a pet rock, it wouldn't be expensive. And a thing was born in his mind. That's where the pet rock craze come from, in a bar. He rushed out, and you know what? That man's going to retire at 35 years of age with $1 million clear money selling pet rocks. Not a thing in the world but a piece of rock. I wonder what in the name of God's going to come in this country next. Pet rocks. That's a fad. That's a fad. You hear me? Jesus will never grow dim. Hallelujah. Somebody's got the opinion, the older they get in the Lord, the dimmer everything gets. And the quieter they ought to get. That's not the way it is. Your experience ought to grow brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. Not weaker and weaker, but stronger and stronger and stronger. Hallelujah. Now, what Whoa. Happened? What
Hearing
happened?
And seeing the miracles.
Hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Read it.
For unclean spirits.
Unclean spirits.
Crying with a loud voice.
Crying with a loud voice.
came out of many that were possessed
Came out of many that were possessed with them.
And many taken with palsy.
And many taken with palsy.
And that were lame were
that
healed.
That were lame were healed.
And there was great joy in that city.
No, wait a minute now, brother. Listen, brother. You got to put on a show before you can get the joy. You know, I'm sorry for the evangelists of this generation. The first thing they're asked, can your wife sing?
Yeah.
Do you sing with her? What kind of bus do you have? How many records do you have out? Nobody ever says, can you preach? Can you sing? What kind of program can you put on? My God, I can't sing. I couldn't carry a tune in a bucket. But I can preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified.
Amen.
Listen, let me tell you something tonight. If you can't shout over the preaching of Jesus Christ, you'll never be guilty of shouting over a song.
Amen.
Amen.
If you do, you ought to be whipped with a whip rope. Now, that's rough, isn't it? I know it's good. That's the reason I'm preaching. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Great joy in the city because Christ was preached. Christ was preached. Christ was preached. Fast. Fast. A fellow was walking down the street.
Yeah.
And he saw a girl stretched out on the sidewalk. She looked a little bruised, and he walked over and helped her up. He said, what's your trouble? Robbers? Rip off? No, she said, platform shoes fell off. Fans! Smiles! Jimmy tonight! I started walking through the lobby of a hotel one time. So many people, I couldn't get through and I had to stop. I turned to the fellow, I said, what's going on over there? Said, that girl is having a coming out party. And I looked over there, well, I said, she's almost made it. I couldn't tell if she's in trying to get out or out trying to get in. That dress she had on was neckless and backless and strapless and reckless. She had on a meat market dress. You know what that is? That's a kind that exposes all the backbone and most of the spare ribs. Then somebody criticize us for preaching Jesus Christ.
Right.
Joy is not in the dress, it's in preaching Jesus. Hallelujah. That's where your joy is. That's where your joy is. Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank God, that's where your joy is. Your joy is in preaching Jesus. Give me Psalm 16:11. Listen, friends, joy in the city. If you want to bring joy to the city, you start believing in Jesus Christ. You hear me as I preach to you tonight? That's the joy that was set before Jesus. I said, that's the joy that was set before Jesus. He saw the preaching of the gospel. He saw devils cast out. He saw these miracles performed. He saw the old preacher standing under the drippings of Calvary, preaching again Christ and Him crucified. Hallelujah. And he said, I will press on beyond my death, beyond my burial, beyond my resurrection. There's the joy that is set before you. Psalm 16:11 read.
Thou wilt show me the path of life.
Thou wilt show me the path of life.
In thy presence.
In what?
In thy presence.
In thy presence.
His fullness.
Listen. If you are relying on anything else but the presence of Jesus for your joy, you're out.
right.
We went through a cycle and we're just not coming out of it. There was a time when there wasn't hardly any preaching going on anywhere. I know.
My God.
Just a running and a hollering. Go to camp meeting and nobody ever get to preach. Go home and when that all died out, that was all it was. Yes. But when you hide the Word of God in your heart.
Yes.
Hear me? There'll be a day when you won't feel like singing. There'll be a day when the storm clouds are going together. And it's going to seem like a blanket of darkness has been draped around you. You won't feel like singing. Nobody will be there to sing to you. But you can begin to draw from this well of living water, from the treasure
yes.
of the Word of God.
Thank God.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hide the Word of God in your heart. And pull that Word of God out. Lord, this is your promise. This is your promise. Then you'll feel those strong arms of God as they reach down so gently and undergird you and takes you through the valley. Takes you through the valley. Takes you through the valley. That's the joy that was set before him. That is the joy that's set before him. He said, my desire is that my joy might remain in you so that your joy might be full.
Right.
Let's read it again now.
Thy presence is fullness of joy.
Come on, let's read the whole verse again.
Thou wilt show me the path of life.
Oh, yes, that's faith. Thou wilt show me the path of life.
In thy presence is fullness of joy.
In thy presence is fullness of joy.
At thy right hand.
At thy right hand.
There are pleasures.
There are pleasures.
Forevermore.
Forevermore.
Hallelujah.
Forevermore. Lift your hands and thank
Hallelujah.
For pleasures forevermore. Pleasures forevermore. Pleasures forevermore. Pleasures forevermore. Revelation 4, the first two verses. Revelation 4, the first two verses. And Revelation chapter 4, verses 9 and 11. And then Revelation 5, 11 and 12. Now then, that's the joy. Now what was the glory that was to follow? You see, that's the two things. The joy was set before him and the glory that should follow. Let's go to Revelation chapter 4, the first two verses.
After this I looked.
After this I
looked.
And behold. And behold.
A door was open in heaven.
A door was open in heaven.
And the first voice which I heard.
And the first voice which I heard.
Was as it were of a trumpet talking.
As it were a trumpet talking.
With me.
With me.
Which said.
Which said.
Come up hither.
Come up hither.
And I will show thee things.
And I will show you things.
Which must be hereafter.
Which must be hereafter.
And immediately.
And immediately.
I was in the Spirit.
I was in the Spirit.
And behold, a throne was set in heaven.
A throne was set in heaven.
And one sat on the throne.
How many?
One.
Three.
One.
Three.
One.
Three sat on the throne.
One.
Three thrones.
One.
One throne.
One.
And one sat on the throne. One throne. One throne. And one sat on that throne. I've got the joy set before him.
Yeah.
Now the glory is going to have to follow. That's
yeah.
right. The glory is going to have to follow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There was a voice spake with me and said, come up hither. I'll show you things that shall be hereafter. I saw a throne set in heaven and one sat on that throne. Let's go now down to the 9th, 10th, and 11th verses of the same chapter. Notice now. 4 and 9.
And when those beasts...
And when those beasts...
Give glory and honor and thanks...
Yeah?
Gave what?
Glory and honor and thanks.
Just a minute. Glory. Glory. Gave glory and honor. Glory and honor.
Yeah.
Glory and honor.
Glory set before him.
Glory and honor. That's the glory that was set before him. He saw people in the heavens giving the glory to the one that sat on the throne. Come on, everybody.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Come on, read it again.
And when those beasts...
And when those beasts...
Give glory and honor and thanks...
When they gave glory and honor... And what?
And thanks.
And thanks...
To him that sat on the throne...
To them that sat on the throne...
To him...
To him...
To him...
To him...
To him...
And I'm going to show you who that him was that sat on the throne. To him that sat on the throne... Read it.
Who liveth forever and ever.
Who liveth forever and ever. That's the one they gave the glory to. That's the one they gave the honor to. That's the one they gave the thanks to. It was him that liveth forever and ever. Revelation 1:17-18. Now let's go to Revelation chapter 5 and verse 11 and 12.
And I beheld. And heard the voice of many angels.
And I heard the voice of many angels.
Round about the throne.
Round about the throne.
And the beast and the elders.
And the beast and the elders.
And the number of them was 10,000.
And the number of them.
Times 10,000.
10,000.
And thousands of thousands.
Times 10,000.
Say it with a loud
and
voice.
And thousands of thousands. 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands.
Saying with a loud voice.
Thousands and thousands.
With a loud voice.
Oh, Brother Gammon, I just can't go to your church. You all make too much noise.
With a loud voice.
You ain't heard nothing yet. You ain't heard nothing. You ain't heard nothing yet. 10,000. Sometimes I think we're too quiet. 10,000.
Yeah. Yeah.
Time 10,000.
With a loud voice.
Listen. People say, I can't stand the noise. This is a noisy world. Buses, cars, airplanes, everything. But when somebody gets excited enough to say, thank you, Jesus, they think everything's all gone wrong up here. I have a good friend now that's a Pentecostal preacher. And when he was a young man, he belonged to a church. And this pastor took up time with him and said, we believe that you're going to be a preacher someday. And a Pentecostal group came through, and this young man went to this meeting and got the Holy Ghost. He missed a Sunday or two, and the pastor came to say about it. Man, he said, I've done got hooked up with the Pentecostals now. He said, I have the Holy Ghost, and I spoke in tongues. Oh! That pastor said, you are deranged. Oh, no, he said, I'm just rearranged. You're preaching it right now. Hallelujah. That's right. Don't tell me I'm off of my rocker. I've still got my marble. I'm not crazy. A fellow persecuted my tent meeting right over here close by one time. And he said, when that circus is over, all the folks who go back to their churches and everything will calm down when gambling leaves town. I got up that night before, no telling how many people was there. I said, a man has called this tent revival a circus. I said, you'd put his brains in a sap sucker and he'd fly back. I wouldn't bother with him no more, I guarantee you that. See, I like to fight the devil. Hallelujah. That's right. That's right. Thank God. Listen, brother, I'm going to preach it. You hear me? Thank God, I'm going to preach it. I'm going to preach it and hell freezes over. I'm going to preach the truth of God just like it is in this book tonight. Hallelujah. Thank God. That was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Oh, Brother Gammon, I'll tell you, I can't stand that. What in the world are you going to do when you get to heaven? But I got an idea, unless you change, you won't ever get there. The Holy Ghost is the best nerve tonic you ever took all the days of your life.
It's a whole lot better than had a call, I'll guarantee you. Samuel, what kind of a voice?
With a loud voice.
Loud voice.
Worthy is the Lamb.
Who?
The Lamb.
Worthy is the Lamb.
That was slain.
That was slain.
To receive power.
To receive power.
Riches.
Riches.
Wisdom.
Wisdom.
Strength.
Strength.
Honor.
Honor.
Glory.
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 Glory. That's the glory of us to follow. He saw that throne.
Yeah.
He went to the throne with the wear of a towel. Hallelujah. When he washed the feet of his creation, he was exalted. Reach out again. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain
to receive power.
Power.
Riches.
Riches.
Wisdom.
Wisdom.
Strength.
Strength.
Honor.
Honor.
Glory.
Glory.
Blessing. And every creature.
And every creature.
Which is in heaven.
You can't run away from it. Every creature which is in heaven.
And on the earth.
On the earth.
Under the earth.
Under the earth.
And such as are in the sea.
And such as are in the sea.
And all that are in them.
And all that are in them.
Heard I saying.
Heard I saying.
Blessing.
Blessing.
Honor.
Honor.
Glory.
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 Glory. They're going to hear it. I said they're going to hear it.
Yeah.
Make it a convert.
And power.
Just a minute. Every knee in heaven is going to bow. Every knee in the earth is going to bow. Every knee under the earth. If there's another God up there, he's going to have to slip off of his throne and get down on his knees. Now that's what the Bible said. Every knee is going to have to bow. Every knee in the earth, that's all the kings and the mighty men, they're going to have to get down on their knees. Then under the earth. That old devil. That old devil.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Somebody's got the idea that he is a hideous-looking creature. I've seen a lot of good-looking devils in my time. He transforms himself into an angel of light.
Oh, yeah.
And he's going to call all his false prophets together. He said, boys, I inspired you to preach against it. I told you that he was a mere man. We denied his deity. We denied the fact that he was God. But now, come on, boys. Let's all get down here together now. Bad as I hate to do it, I'm going to have to bend my knees to the name of Jesus. And I'm going to have to confess that he's the Lord. That he's the Lord.
That's it?
That he's the Lord.
Yeah.
I've done made my confession. I've done made my confession. Oh, Revelation 1:17. Get me Ephesians 4:4 right quick. Listen, I'm going to preach a little bit right now. Listen to this. Listen. Confess that Jesus is Lord. Do you believe that tonight? 2 Samuel 22:32. Who is the Lord save God? Now, if the Lord is God, if the God of eternity is the Lord, that makes God and the Lord the same, right? Jeremiah 10:10, the Lord is the true God and everlasting King.
That's Bible.
The Lord is God. The God of eternity is the Lord. And everybody's going to have to confess that he's the Lord. I've done made my confession. Now, let's establish the fact of how many lords there is. Ephesians 4:4.
There is one body.
One body, that means the church. Colossians 1:18, Christ is the head of the church, the body. All right, there's one body, one church. Don't fall out with me for preaching there's one church. He didn't build but one. And he's not in but one. And he's coming back for one. That'd be strange if the head would start from heaven after a half a dozen bodies. Wouldn't that be something in heaven? One head of heaven, a half a dozen bodies? No, he's got one body. There's one body and one head. Christ is the head and we're the body.
Yes.
But that's another sermon. I'll get to that next week. I wish this thing could go on another 2 weeks. What about it? Let's have another week. That's right. Thank
God.
Come on, let's read. There's one body.
One spirit.
How many spirits?
One.
One spirit. Even as you're called.
Into one hope.
In one hope.
Of your calling.
Of your calling.
One Lord.
How many?
One.
One Lord.
One faith.
One faith.
One baptism.
One baptism.
One God.
One God.
And Father.
And Father of all.
All.
Who is above all.
Through all.
And in you all. You see, I'm from the South. And I've always said you all. You see, I was baptized 47 years ago. I was born and reared in an Indian country. All the creeks and the rivers are named by Indians. I was baptized in Josuski Creek, pretty close to Penishook, not too far from Luke Potter, pretty close to Little Butcher, not too far from Nanawaria. And when I first went north, years ago, up there, they don't say you all. They say youth guys. And I was preaching one Sunday night, had about 1,200 people there. And I said, you all. I saw them Yankees nudge each other. I stopped. I said, I know what you're laughing about. And I quoted what Paul said, there's one God who is above all, through all, and in you all. I said I had a brother that talked just like I did. Hallelujah. And before I left, them Yankees were walking around saying, you all. He's in you all. That's right. He's in you all. Hallelujah. How many lords are there?
One.
One. Now, if the Lord of eternity is God, and God is the Lord, if the Lord is the true Lord, the true God, if there's not but one Lord, now all I've got to do is to find out who that one Lord is, and then I'm going to know who God is. That's simple. I spent 2 years in algebra trying to figure out who X was, and I never did. But I sure figured out who Jesus was because I got a revelation. Hallelujah. That's right, I got a revelation. And when God tapped old Saul, he hit the dirt, he looked up, he said, Lord, who art thou? Acts 9 and 5. And the Lord said, I am Jesus.
That's it.
And the Lord said, I am Jesus.
Amen.
I am Jesus.
Yes.
And the Lord said, I am Jesus. That's the glory that wants to follow. And we give him a turn tonight. Lift your hands and just glorify his name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Now what Revelation 1:17, the one that sat on the throne was the one that was alive forevermore, going to live forever. I want 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 1, Hebrews chapter 2 verses 9 through 10, and then I want a good song, just a few minutes. Revelation 1:17. Who is this person we're talking about tonight? Revelation 1:17.
And when I saw him,
this is John on the Isle of Patmos. Jesus paid him a visit. And when I saw him, I
fell at his feet as
fell
dead.
At his feet
as dead.
As dead. Read on.
And he laid his right
hand. He laid his right hand upon me,
saying unto me,
saying unto me,
fear not,
fear not.
I am the first.
I am the first.
And the last.
And the last. Read it.
First and
I'm
last.
First.
First and last.
First and last. That's
first.
It.
Read it.
And last. Read it.
I am the first. And
I am
the, last.
The first.
I am the first.
I'm
and
the
last. I am the first.
That's all it is.
I am the first and the last.
If he's the first and the last, there's no room for anybody else in the middle.
I'm the first from the last. Read it. Read on.
I am he that liveth.
I'm he that liveth.
And was dead.
And was dead.
And behold.
And behold.
I am alive forevermore.
I'm alive. I'm alive. I'm alive. I'm alive. I'm alive. Forevermore. And I hold the keys.
Yeah.
Of death and hell. That's who sat on the throne. Will you with me right now, the closing moments of this message, would you just close your eyes, lift your hands, thank God tonight, 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 thank God tonight. 1 Peter 5:1. Notice what he said.
The elders which are among you.
The elders which are among you.
I exhort.
I exhort.
Who am also an elder.
Who am also an elder.
And a witness of the sufferings of Christ.
And I'm a witness of the sufferings of Christ.
And also a partaker of the glory.
I saw him suffer. I'm a witness of his suffering. But I'm also a partaker of his glory. The glory that should follow. What a debt he paid. Hebrews 2:9, 10, and 11.
But we see Jesus.
What do we see Jesus?
Who was made a little lower than the angels.
Who was made a little lower than the angels.
For the suffering of death.
The suffering of death.
Crowned with glory.
Crowned with glory.
And honor.
And honor.
That he by the grace of God.
That he by the grace of God.
Should taste death for every man.
Should taste death for every man.
For it became him.
For it became him.
For whom are all things.
And by whom are all things.
In bringing many sons into glory. To make the captain of their salvation.
This is what I'm preaching to you tonight. That's the glory that should follow. Are you ready tonight? Are you ready to listen? I want to tell you something. I've had so many experiences. I've seen so many things. Two of the saddest things that I've ever saw in my life. Some time ago in our town, a man called me from the hospital. I went to see him. He lay on that bed. He said, Brother Gambling, he said, I used to know God. He said, I don't know him now. He said, I don't have a church. He said, I don't have a family. My family all left me alone. I don't even have a family. He said, I don't have a church. He said, I don't have a God. He said, I'm laying here on this bed, I'm dying. And I'm dying alone. I'm dying alone. I walked in a hospital one time. And in this hospital, when I walked in, I immediately turned to the right. This was a semi-private room, but I never noticed. I turned immediately to the right to visit with a lady from my church. Her husband was sitting in a chair by the side of the bed, and I walked up to the bed, and I began to talk to her. And in a moment, I heard a commotion on the other side of the room, and I looked over, and I saw a baby bed, and they had the sides of it raised up, and there was a little baby standing up in that bed, shaking the sides of that bed. This lady said, Brother Gambling, said that baby is trying to attract your attention.
says several days ago, the mother of this child brought it in this hospital, walked away, hasn't even been back. They don't even know where she is. They assume that she's gone. They don't know where she is. I went over to that bed and I picked that child up and I talked to it. When it came time to go, I walked back to that bed and I set that child down and I turned and walked out the door. That was one of the saddest things I ever saw in my life. When I walked down that long corridor of the hospital, you know, it's a bad thing to be alone. That's when my heart goes out to the older people. That's confined to rest homes here, yonder, different places. I walked down that long corridor of that hospital that morning. Walked out on the front porch of that hospital. It was such a beautiful day. The tears began to run down my face. Listen, I'm not ashamed to cry. I'm not ashamed to cry. I lifted my hands. I didn't care who saw me. I didn't care who heard me. I lifted my hands. I said, God, I want to thank you because you're my Father. I want to thank you because you're my Father. And I want to thank you because you promised that you never leave me, that you never forsake me, but you go with me to the end of the world. I said, God, I want to thank you for that right now. People passed me by. I guess they thought some of my people had passed on. But if you could just realize the presence of God that's in this tabernacle right now. Listen to me tonight. I feel that somebody here, you're so alone right now. You're so lonely. Before I even ask you, this congregation to stand, how many will just get up from where you are and just walk down the front of this tabernacle? Say, God, I need you as a friend tonight. I'm alone and I'm lonely. I need you right now. How many will get up and come on right now? Come out of the balcony if you feel like praying tonight.